little bit on the short side. Maybe this was meant for yes, it would work better. I guess if somebody wants to come up here and sit down, that's fine. Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's a joy to be here, and it's an honor and a privilege as well. I want to commend you, first of all, in your singing. Singing is great. I realize you have concrete walls and a high ceiling, which we have wooden walls and a low ceiling. But the singing is great. Keep putting your heart into singing. It's beautiful. I'm walking with a limp this morning. My wife is on her way to Florida. I had to drop her off at the airport, unfortunately, to be with her 91-year-old mother down in Sarasota for a week. I look forward to meeting her on Thursday down there, hopefully. But I don't enjoy going anywhere without her, unless it's a men's thing, of course. But I'm honored to be here, and also feel honored to share the Word of God. I trust we all do, because it's when we share the Word of God, I just thought about this morning in prayer especially, you know, the Word of God is living. It's powerful. Jesus said, "Now you are clean by the words which I have spoken to you." And wow, you know, just simply that receiving Christ's words, Jesus' words, it becomes a power within us that we didn't know anything of prior to receiving Him. So I'm happy to be a child of God. I really am. None of us are worthy, of course, but wow, what a privilege to be a part of God's family. I am a father of 10 children and a grandfather of 21. And there's 40 of us. And we love being together as a family. And as a father, there's many, I can look back and see mistakes that I've made. And in ways of not relating to our children the best way. And raising a family isn't easy. There's a number of young families here, a number of children here, and I guess this morning I'd primarily like to talk to families, to us as parents, relating to the children, but I'd also like to make it more collectively, as even in the church, in the brotherhood, and with people that we meet, with people that we rub shoulders with, and people that we relate to. The attributes that I'd like to speak of this morning, the message title is Belonging, Loved, and Affirmation/Significance. Those three. And it's something that we can't survive effectively without it in life. We cannot be very productive without it in life, in receiving belonging with something and being loved by someone or by a group. We cannot survive very well and be effective in life if we're not affirmed, or if we don't feel significant. There's many people going through life that are not experiencing this, and they're not doing well. But as we go through life, I think we can, if we're around them long enough, we can see who those people are. We can pick them out because of the way their eyes look, where their eyes go, and so forth. We were at a wedding yesterday, and it's a mixed culture wedding. And I just saw a lot of, we saw a lot of hurt, a lot of pain because of some of the history of the parents, the grandparents. And it grieves me, it grieves us to see that happening because we are created to belong, are we not? We are created to be loved. We are created to be valued. Amen? Is that right? You with me? We are created for that. And when we don't experience that, things happen in our hearts that cause us to go in a shell. And we do not, cannot properly relate to those around us. So it's my burden, and the burden of the message is that we would experience that. But even more so, that we would share that with each other. That we make each other feel valued, loved, and that you belong. You belong to something bigger than yourself. You can open your Bibles with me to the text. Matthew 3, I'd like to read 3 through 13. 13 through 17, Matthew 3. 13 through 17, and for those of you that are able, you could stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read it in the ESV. I'm a much better student in the King James, but I like other versions as well. Matthew 3, 13 through 17, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered unto him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Shall we repeat that last phrase together? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that your word is powerful, it's sharper, it's quick. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes with whom we have to do, unto you, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless our time together here. I pray that you would bless the breaking of your word. Pray that we would be receptive and we would receive it into our own hearts and make application to it and live it day by day amongst each other and in your presence. Father, we just want to commit this service to you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why do you think that voice from heaven, the Father in heaven, said that? Do you think he needed to say that because his Son needed to hear it? I believe there's different applications. I think there's different thoughts on that. I think so. Jesus was in the flesh, and he needed the Father's confirmation. He needed the Father's affirmation because he was in the flesh. And he needed, but I think possibly more than that, he wanted to hear, he wanted the world to hear what he thinks of his Son. He wanted the people to hear what he thinks of his Son. And I think we can hear it today yet. We can hear it ringing in coming out of heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, it brings the question to mind, does your son or your daughter know, as parents, do your son and daughters know that you're pleased with them, that you love them. And more than that, have you ever said that in their presence, in the presence of other people? Now, I think we can take that too far and really brag up on our children and you know, kind of make them feel awkward after a bit. But I think the people around us need to know that we are blessed with our sons and daughters. Beloved son implies belonging. Or my beloved son, my beloved. This is mine. This is my son. This is my daughter. This is my wife. This is my husband. It's belonging. It's being a part of. I remember my mother introducing me to one of her friends. This is my son. He lives so-and-so. He was on the mission field. You know, there's something, you feel a connection between the parent and yourself, your parent and yourself. And I think we need to feel that we belong. Even in a church setting, I think we go to the same church. They're a part of our church. And there's something that goes with that. And then the second part is beloved son. It implies dear to the heart. It implies being connected deeply. And then with whom I am well pleased implies affirmation and significance. We just will not function very well if we don't have that in our lives. And it's important for us as parents that we convey that to our children. And it's not always easy, especially when they go through a difficult time and it seems like, of course, you all don't have know anything about that, when they don't seem to cooperate, right? Sometimes young people don't seem to cooperate with us parents. We don't think alike. I certainly didn't always cooperate with my parents, and I disappointed them growing up way too often. But on the flip side, I don't deserve the honor and respect that my children give to me as a dad. But what a blessing when that happens. So we need to share these things with them. And we all need to be recipients of these. Belonging, love, and affirmation. Belonging, to be attached or to be the property of another. Loved is strong and warm affection for another rising out of kinship or personal ties. Affirmation is a positive assertion of family love, important and highly valued. So this message is for all of us this morning. We can extend that, and when we think of us as Christians, when we think of how God poured out himself to us through his son Jesus Christ, and he adopted us into his family, he chose us to come, he called us, he wooed us in, and he wants us to feel his presence, he wants us to feel his love. And you know, sometimes people struggle with even Christians, and it's okay, we struggle, we wrestle with things. Well, how do I know that God really loves us? How do I know that God even exists? I think we've all asked those questions. Even as Christians, we wrestle with those questions sometimes, and that's fine. But I would suggest that we look into the face of his son, Jesus Christ. We look into what he gave for us, what he gave to us. He sacrificed his life totally in coming and leaving the splendor of heaven. He sacrificed, he came down, and he gave himself night and day for us. And then he laid his life down completely to be ravaged, to be torn apart, and to be crucified for us. Isn't that being loved? Isn't that? And then he says, if you believe in me, if you follow me, if you walk in my steps, I'm going to give you a peace and a joy that you never knew before. I'm going to give you a peace and joy that the world doesn't know anything of. I'm going to give you something that you can pass on to others that's going to make your life pleasant. And it doesn't stop there. He says, I'm going to give you eternal life in heaven with me. That's wow. You know, just told my wife this morning, and we look back, reminisce a little bit in how fast life is going, and we all realize that, how fast, especially when we look back. Wow, where did all the time go to? Like we snoozed and all of a sudden there was 40 of us, right? It almost feels that way sometimes. And Jesus is coming soon. It may be today for us as individuals, maybe in the clouds of heaven. But he's going to come quickly, and eternity is going to be here shortly. Let's be faithful, right? Let's be faithful. And the little time that we have, let's exercise these things together. Let's encourage each other to be faithful. I'd like to bring out a few scriptures concerning belonging, how God chose Israel. This is Old Covenant scriptures in Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I just want to bring out the personal relationship that God, the Father, our Creator, wanted to have with Abram. And he wanted to make a great nation. I will make you a great nation, verse 2. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. What a God to pour that onto a man. He says, I will, and so that you will be a blessing. This morning, I have the confidence that you are a blessing. You're a blessing to each other. You're a blessing to your families. You're a blessing to your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your children. I have that confidence, and God wants it that way. But he chose Abram to be that to us, the father of faith. And then Psalm 135, 4 says, for the Lord has chosen Jacob to belong for himself, it says, Israel as his own possession. Deuteronomy 7, 6, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now for New Covenant scripture, but ye, 1 Peter 2, 9, but ye are a chosen generation. We are a chosen people, right? We're a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Wow, the titles that come in this verse. And holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And when we have his word functioning and operating within us, there's a light goes out from our life that only the word could bring, could manifest. Amen? Only the word of God could manifest that. If we have his word in our hearts and in our life, then it will be obvious that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, showing forth the praises of God. God gave to us, bringing it home to us. God gave us our sons and our daughters to love, to care for, to provide for. and to instruct in the ways of the Lord. Our children bear our name, as we, his followers, bear his name. There's times when our children leave, and this is not to put emphasis on our personal name, but you know, I think we all have an amount of pride, may I say, in our family unit. We don't want our children to go out there and embarrass us, do we, parents? We want our children to be proper children, to be contributors into the lives of others. So we want our children to bear our name and to bear it well. Even much more so, our Heavenly Father wants us to bear his name. That's the most important thing. But occasionally my wife will say, and it depends on the circumstance, depends, it's not, she makes a habit of it. She'll say, I might have said it already to remember your Glick. Right? Remember your Glick. Now, I'll talk more about it, and we need to be careful that it goes, our children bear the name of the Father in heaven. That's the most important. But there's honor that goes with the family unit when we don't bring disgrace upon the family. And it's the same way in the church family as well. We don't want to bring disgrace to the church family. In bearing in the Son, when we think of the Son bearing the Heavenly Father's name, being one with him, I believe the Father in heaven, he bestowed when he said that, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father bestowed an honor on the Son, did he not? That the world, the people around there are wondering, what is going on here? But he bestowed honor on the Son. And then what happens when there's honor bestowed on our children and on the Son? I think that honor goes right back to the parents. Jesus' honor went right back to the Father. So it's just a being respectful and honoring each other. Sometimes we hear, whose son are you? Oh, yes, you look like your dad. You look like your mom. I could tell who that person is. You know, there's family ties. There's that of belonging which we love and we need. We have a brother in our church. He didn't know who his biological father was till he was 18. And it just sent him into a turmoil at 18. He found out that the man that he was calling his father isn't his father. And he wasn't adopted. He has on his brother, our brother, he has his stepfather, the man that he was calling his father, he has that on his certificate. And he said, this isn't my name, this isn't my last name. I'm not his son. And he's 76 right now, and he just shared this with me several years ago. And he said he struggles with that. He says, this isn't right. And I try and understand, you know, what he's feeling. And I said, I'm trying to understand your disappointment, but I said, what is really, really important is that you bear your Heavenly Father's name. Sometimes life is all messed up here in this earth for many people. And there's many children who don't even know who they belong to. And I don't know if you're here in that situation or not. I don't know you. There's very few that I know here. But if that's your situation, remember that as a Christian, you bear your Father's heavenly name. You bear your Father's name, and he cares for you, and he loves you dearly. We are created with a desire and need to belong. Just look at an infant, helpless. It wouldn't survive unless it would belong, unless somebody would take the responsibility to love and care for that child and be responsible for the child. Many children are dying without love, without belonging, just rejected and thrown out. It's alarming. Rejected even before they're born. I must move on. I'd like to share a few practical things. A few more practical things. We were not created to live on an island. We're made for something bigger and better, bigger than ourselves. We're created to belong. We need to protect our children from the elements, from ungodly influences, and protect their hearts from being overcome by fear, offenses, and drama. They must know in their hearts that we will always be there for them. Another story that is happening as we speak. Have a son living in Ohio, married to a young girl from out there. And he has a business, and he had hired several Amish boys, two Amish boys. They were brothers. And they were working for him about 3 years now. And the one boy, the 18-year-old, he started asking questions, or my son asked him questions. They were interacting about spiritual things a bit. And so he started asking questions, and it led to the point where he gave his heart to the Lord. And out there in that Amish community, the Amish forbid their people to work with any kind of power tools. Everything has to be with a saw and a hammer and with physical strength. And the dad sent his two sons to work for our son Alan, knowing that he's not just going to hand lumber around all day. So their rules are so strict that I don't know if anyone can live up to it. And the son felt this conviction in his heart. He said, I'm doing this. I'm even carrying a cell phone. And the church is saying, we mayn't do this. And so it caused a lot of turmoil and struggle in his life. In fact, I think that's what led to his conversion as well. So he and my son made arrangements that he would need to leave home. And our son didn't want him just to go out there and live anywhere. He said, well, I can make a room in my basement for you, and you can live with us until you get on your feet and find something else. But in the meantime, the boy, Daniel, he knew that this is going to cause tremendous struggle in the family. They don't have anything like that in the church. And when you're shunned or excommunicated, he's a member of the church. You're out there. You're thrown out. So the day came that he was going to leave, and he wanted to tell his parents the evening before. He was advised probably best he would just tell his parents in the morning and then just say, I'm leaving. But he's very sensitive, heart and conscious. He told his mom and dad the evening before that he's leaving tomorrow. And they wanted to get the ministers over right away. He said, no, I don't want to talk to the ministers now. And so they were up a long time that night just talking. They were trying to convince him otherwise. This was about 2 weeks ago. And so he was texting our son Alan, and he was being watched very, very closely. Went to a wedding in Michigan on Friday, and he was going to call Alan, but his dad is just with him wherever he goes. But his parents told him, if you leave, you may never come back again. Young people, what would you do if that's what your parents would say? If you leave, you may never come back again. And they were serious. But they wanted to put fear into that young man. He doesn't belong anymore. And but God is doing a work. He didn't leave yet. God is doing work. His older brother is communicating with Alan. God's working in his life. God's working behind the scenes. And it's been very difficult for our son and for Daniel and the family. So we need to remember them in our prayers. But to tell our children, if you leave, you may never come back again. But that's the case, you know, that's the case with Muslims and the Buddhists. And they're thrown out as, I don't want you, you don't belong to me anymore if you're going to do that. How sad. One thing that our children appreciate is when they can bring their friends. They can bring their friends to our house. And this is what our children call home. It's what we call home. And when they can bring them to our house, it makes our children feel like we've accepted their friends, even though some of the friends may not be, we may fear that they're not the best company. But those friends need a place where they know that there is family love, family unit, and where they're accepted as well. One situation, the one friend is, the parents took three other children in, and the teenage girls feel pushed out, so they're moving out. So it's not a good situation either. So there's a lot of, we can show belonging to in a lot of different ways. Another comment that we can make to our children, I'm happy to be your mom and dad. I'm happy to be your dad. I'm happy to be your mom. You are my beloved son. I'm proud of you. The second part is love. I'm going to move a little faster. There's so much that could be shared here. Again, the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus said in John 17, 22 and 23, the glory, and this just grabbed me when I read this verse. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Did you know Jesus gave us glory? Jesus gave you as a Christian glory? I don't know how that all works, the depth and the height and the breadth of that. But he said, the glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Jesus brought the Father's love, that the world may know that you've sent me and you love them. Does the world know that the Father loves you? I think that is manifested by our walk, that there's a relationship there. There are many, many people, many adults, many children. I think we probably all heard of stories where an adult is waiting even for the first time to hear from her father or his father. Son, I love you. Daughter, I love you. They are still waiting after being married many years for the father to say, I love you. Dads, I hope You've told your sons and your daughters that you love them passionately. And I believe that needs to be cultivated. That needs to be cultivated from the very beginning. That relationship needs to be cultivated. But I feel like so many fathers haven't been loved, and they don't know how to give love. This morning it can start with us. If we didn't do that, if we didn't receive that love, it can start with us. We need to break that chain. Jesus gave the story of the prodigal son. The son, we know the story. The son asked for what belongs to him even before the father was gone. But he had a disappointment, didn't he? He ended up in the pig pen. It didn't work out the way that he had planned. The point of the story is, that I'd like to make here, is that the son came to himself and he said, I have sinned before God, before my father. I'm going to go back. I'm not even fit to be called a hired servant. I'm going to go back and I'm going to confess. And the point that I like to make, the father was watching. He was expecting. He was looking for his son. And when the father saw his son coming a long way off, he ran. He ran. And Jesus said that he embraced him. And he kissed him. What a reunion. But my plead today is that us fathers know how to embrace our sons and our daughters and kiss them appropriately. If our children do not know what it feels like to be properly and appropriately embraced, hugged, and kissed, we're made up that way that we want it from someone. We're going to get it somewhere. I know of situations where that's not happening. And the parents can't figure out. Parents can't figure out why they're going after the guys that they are. There's a proper time and place for this. For our daughters today, yet our married daughters, I'll kiss them on the forehead. I'll embrace them. I love them because they're doing a tremendous job. Not just because of that. They're my daughters. They're my sons. And we need to show affection to our children growing up, do we not? We really do. Our son works. Our son works. Yeah, he's in Mexico with the Light of Hope orphanage down there. He just sees all kinds of stuff. Those orphan children, they don't know what it's like to be loved. And he's finding out what it's like to be a parent. It's good for our young men to go down there, our young daughters, to go down there and experience what it's like to pour your love into someone's life that has never been loved before and find out how privileged they are to have parents that love them. I commend that place. I would suggest, or if you young people feel led to go somewhere, I feel it's a good place for you to grow up. It's a good place to mature and give yourself for a great cause. For the needs of others. Just the last one, affirmation. It's a positive assertion of family love, important and highly valued. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Many times we expect our children to do the job that we would do. And we see everything that they didn't do right. And we can scold them for those things. And I'm I have done that too often. We can scold them for the things that they didn't do and fail to commend them for the things that they did right. It's just a weakness that I think we have, at least I have at times. We must speak confidence in their lives. Like, you can do this. You are capable. You are able to do this. I know it's going to be hard, but you can do it. Another area where we can help our children to grow is we get them to share in a family devotion. Does any of your dads ever kind of fall into a place where, what am I going to share this evening, family devotions? What's next? Well, we'll get a book out, we'll get a devotional book, and we'll just kind of use that. And you know, that's not always the best way. That's a good way. But how about asking our children? Some of you may have done this already. Asking your children to share. I'm amazed still. They come up with a better conversation than what I do sometimes, many times. So helping them to grow in that way. And tell them that the job would have taken much longer if you wouldn't help me. I don't know how I could have done without you. It's just things of affirmation, speak value into their lives. And thank you for supporting us in the project. Thank you for embracing the faith. Thanks for doing a good job while working for others. It's a good testimony to God. Also preserves our family name, right? Our children will pick up whether we view people as significant or weird. Especially how we relate to the unfortunate, the underdogs. They will pick it up in our talk, in our actions, and in our prayers. They will pick that up. We can be a silent influence without even talking to them. They hear, they catch sometimes more than what we teach them or more than what we tell them. If we raise our children in a stiff environment, they will have poor relational skills because they were never allowed to think for themselves. We have to give them freedom. We have to give them, Jesus came to set us free. We need to instruct, guide, and direct our children, but we also need to give them freedom. If we raise our parents, if our rules are more important than our children's heart needs, we're going to miss it with them. If our rules are more important than their heart needs, we are going to miss it with them. We're implying to them that our reputation is more important than them as a person. What am I trying to build? My reputation? Or am I building character into their lives? If we lose our children's respect long term, they will follow someone else that they feel cares for them. And it may not be the company that we want for them. This morning, can we apply this to our lives? Can we share this belonging, loved, and affirmation with each other, with our children? If we do this for each other, we will become a better people. We will shine brighter to the world around us. We will have better relational skills. We will have better relationships, amen? Don't you think? When we speak belonging and love and affirmation into each other, you've done a good job. That's a great devotion this morning. I enjoyed being here for Sunday school, by the way. It was good. It was healthy. We learned things. And just keep picking each other up. Can we all rise and again say that part of the verse, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? Then I'll have a word of prayer and turn the time over to Brother Arlen.